Freddie Freeman with the Brewers in a shift. It's a fly ball to center field. Lorenzo Cain going back at the wall. Freddie Freeman's left the yard and put the Braves on top in the bottom of the eighth with a solo shot to left center. They lead it 5-4.
And the pitch on the way.
Got him. Looking strike three. And the Braves are heading to the National League Championship Series for the second year in a row.
You know, the last couple of weeks have been kind of pulling off and kind of topping some balls. So I worked really hard in the cage before the game and trying to shoot balls to left field, and it worked out today.
The team with the worst record in the National League playoffs, the Atlanta Braves, with 88 wins this year, knock off the 95-win Milwaukee Brewers last night thanks to the home run in the bottom of the eighth inning by Freddie Freeman off of perhaps the best reliever in baseball, Josh Hader. And you heard Freeman, his preparation, did a little bit of extra work in the cage trying to go to the opposite field. Hit one to straightaway center off of Hader in the bottom of the eighth. The Braves, who are down 2-0 and 4-2, come all the way back to win 5-4. They win the best of five series in the NLDS 3-1. And they move on to the NLCS, where they'll take on either the Dodgers or the Giants. The Dodgers winning 7-2 last night to force a winner take all game five tonight in San Francisco at 8:07 on TBS. Here's an interesting nugget. The Dodgers won 106 games. If the Dodgers do beat the Giants tonight, do you know where games 1 and 2 will be played at?
At Atlanta.
At Atlanta. A team with 18 less wins will have home field advantage against the Dodgers because they reward the division winner more so than a team that won 106 games because the Dodgers would just happen to be in the wrong division. People listening to the show might think I'm a big Dodger fan. I'm not. I just don't think it's right. But at the same time, you still get to play the games on the field. And if the Dodgers win game one against the Braves, boom, they get home field advantage to their advantage again. But they have to win game five tonight. We figured San Francisco and the Dodgers, 107-win team versus 106-win team, would go the distance. I just wish it would have been the NLCS and not the NLDS. But that's what we get tonight on TBS at 8:07. So my youngest son and I, we had to go out of town and go check something out that we're looking at. And we were coming back, and I was listening to the play-by-play broadcast of the Atlanta Braves as they were playing the Brewers. And it is so, I wish I had that call that I could play for people, because as I'm listening to it, it's the bottom of the eighth and there's two quick outs, and the announcers were all over it. And they said, here comes Freddie Freeman. If you remember, Freddie just 2 years ago had a walk-off homer against Hader in the 10th inning to win a game in Atlanta. And the color commentator said, well, pretty sure Hader's not going to give him anything to hit. First pitch, gone. And they could not believe it. Mm-hmm. They're like, he's done it again. Freddie Freeman has done it again against the perhaps the best reliever in baseball, Josh Hader. And that was the game winner. And from everything that we've read and heard, Freddie Freeman is a guy that everybody loves, highly respected, mm-hmm. and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. So Freddie Freeman with the big hit last night to put the Braves into the NLCS. They await the winner of the Giants and the Dodgers. If the Giants win tonight, it will be the Braves at the Giants. If the Dodgers win, the Dodgers will be at the Braves for game one of the NLCS. On the American League side, the Astros punch their ticket.
Bouncing ball to the right side. Altuve's got it. The throw to first for a fifth consecutive season. The Houston Astros are headed to the American League Championship Series.
You know, Dusty doesn't like the same thing over and over unless it's the Chiefs, of course. But Dusty's always complained about, I don't watch the NFL playoffs because it's always the Patriots and the Steelers or whoever it might be. Well, we're to that point with baseball, aren't we? At least in American League. We've got the Astros there for a fifth straight year. In 2017, they won the World Series. In 18, they lost in five games in the ALCS to the Red Sox, who went on to win it all. 2019, they lost the World Series in seven games to the Nationals. And last year, they fell in the ALCS in seven games to the Rays. Just two other teams, the A's and the Braves, have appeared in at least five consecutive league championship series. The A's did it from 71 to 75. The Braves, technically, eight straight NLCSs from 91 to 99. Now, in the middle was the strike in 94. And the Braves were in second place, and there was no wild card at that time, so perhaps they wouldn't have made it that year. But anyway, they did make it five straight LCSs without interruption, 95 to 99. So we get a rematch of the ALCS in 2018 between the Red Sox and the Astros. The two teams are accused of cheating and found to be guilty of cheating, where the Astros, of course, Alex Cora was part of the Astros, end up being hired by the Red Sox. Then he got suspended last year for cheating, and now the cheaters are winning. You know, don't they say cheaters never win? They just live in sin. That is not applying in Major League Baseball. The Astros are winning again, despite whether they cheat, still cheat or not. And the Red Sox, who were investigated as well, those are two teams that are going to play each other in the ALCS. Is it possible they both could lose? Could we just, you know, honestly, how about we do this? How about we just go ahead and take the Giants-Dodger loser tonight, and they represent the American League in the World Series, and then let the winner tonight, actually, let the loser tonight between the Giants and the Dodgers play the Braves, and the winner tonight, the Giants-Dodgers, automatically in the World Series representing the American League. And the Dodgers, if they lose to the Giants tonight, Dodgers-Braves, winner takes on the Giants in the World Series. I know it sounds weird, but at least you'd have the two best teams, possibly. And secondly, we wouldn't have the cheaters in the American League Championship Series because it's the same teams. Then the Rays, you know, same team there. The only newbie was the White Sox, although they made it last year too. So there really wasn't a lot of new blood in the American League. In the National League, it was the Dodgers and the Brewers and the Braves. They've been there quite a bit recently. Of course, the newbies, the Giants, who hadn't been since 14. Of course, that's when they won it all with Madison Bumgarner, and they beat the Royals in Game 7 of the World Series at Kauffman Stadium. But I, you know, it is weird. You always hear this. Well, you know, it's karma. What goes around comes around. It ain't happening to the Astros or the Red Sox. Definitely not the Astros.
Not yet, for sure. Yeah, that's it's annoying when you see that. Again, if it's your favorite team, you don't care about it, right? But if it's a team that, especially these two teams, Red Sox and Astros, it's not fun. You're not a big fan of it. I'm not anyway. So, but format is what it is, so one of these teams is going to be playing in the World Series. You just hope that whoever comes from the National League beats them.
That's right. That's exactly what I saw a friend of mine say. He goes, I don't even care who comes out of the National League. I'm cheering for the National League to beat the American League, no matter what.
Yeah.
I would imagine even Yankee fans would agree to that, especially if the Red Sox make it. So the Astros roll the White Sox 10-1. They win that series 3-1. Local sports and volleyball from last night, and we have our locker room chats this evening.
Yeah, a lot of scores from last night. The Beloit Lady Trojans picked up a three-set win in a best-of-five match over Ellis, 25-11, 25-8, and 25-20. So the Beloit Lady Trojans now 27-7 on the season. Congratulations to Addie Budke. The freshman reached the 500 kill mark last night for the season, and Trinity McMillan reached the 500 dig mark. Congratulations to her as well from last night there at Beloit. Between Beloit and Ellis. Smith Center Triangular. Smith Center sweeping their two matches. They beat Great Bend in 2, 20-14, and they beat Phillipsburg in 2, 16-13 were the scores there. Smith Center is now 30-2 on the season. Thunder Ridge Triangular, St. John's Tipton beat Tescott 24-26, 25-21, 25-15, and then they beat Thunder Ridge 21-20 were the scores in that one. Thunder Ridge beat Tescott 2 in the other match, 26-24, 25-18. Southern Cloud Quad Lakeside went 3-0 to finish the regular season portion of their schedule. NPL tournament not part of that, obviously, coming up this weekend. But Southern Cloud Quad Lakeside beat Sylvan Lucas in 2, 11-19. They beat Southern Cloud in 2, 15-15. And they beat Natoma in 2, 9-7 were the scores there. Sylvan Lucas over Natoma in 2, 7-12. And Southern Cloud beat Natoma in 2, 25-15-18 were the scores in that one. Osborne Triangular. Osborne beat Chase in 2, 14-11. They beat Rock Hills in 2, 25-19-18. Osborne's now 20-10 on the season with those wins last night. Rock Hills beat Chase in 2. Both scores were 25-13. And then Abilene and Concordia. Abilene won over Concordia both matches, winning in 2 in the first and 3 in the second. Again, you can find full scores from last night's action at ncksports.com. As Wade said, we do have high school football locker room chats coming up this evening. We'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. They start in between 5:10 to 5:15 here tonight on Katy Country 94. You can always catch them online at katycountry94.com as well. So stay tuned for our high school football locker room chats tonight and tomorrow night. High school football coming up Friday night. Schedule's always at ncksports.com for our high school football as well.
All right, I was pretty excited. I was sporting my gear yesterday, the first ever game for the Kraken. The Kraken, yeah, baby, they've been released.
Grubauer slapping the stick, letting his teammates know that here comes White Cloud back on the ice. Back to even strength. Dunn score. Dunn walking in. Shot. Glove save. Loose score! Ryan Donato has the first goal in Seattle Kraken history. And it's a 3-1 game.
Yes, the Kraken with their first ever goal last night. My son sends me a text late last night. He says, Dad, the Kraken gave up two goals in the first minute and a half. Ha ha. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. I watched the first couple minutes. The Kraken had like five shots on goal, had a power play, and nearly took the lead. And nobody scored in the first 2 minutes. 6.5 minutes in, they were down 2-0, but not 1.5 minutes. And believe it or not, they came all the way back to tie the game at 3. An expansion team against maybe the best team in hockey.
This line's been dangerous on the rush all night. Marchessault tries to make a move, but it turns over to Geeky. Geeky, quick wrist shot, score! Holy snakey! What a snipe by Geeky!
What a goal indeed. That tied it. Unfortunately, I'm here to report that the great upset that I was hoping would happen last night did not come to fruition. Las Vegas Golden Knights, considered by some to be a favorite to win the Stanley Cup, they beat my Seattle Kraken 1-0 last night. The Penguins beat Tampa Bay, the two-time defending NHL Stanley Cup champions, 6-2 in Tampa last night. And I must say, I was watching a little bit of the pregame, and the color analyst, they asked him, what do you expect out of the Kraken this year? And he said, I expect them to be in the playoffs. They have a good roster. They have good goaltending. I'm like, woo! First year, baby. We're going to the playoffs. Release that Kraken. Release it. But here's a question I have. When you have an expansion franchise in any sport, shouldn't they automatically, the first game of the season, be at home?
I feel like they should. Yeah.
Like, I feel like the first game ever for the Kraken should be at home, or any expansion franchise. Seattle, Kraken, play their first 5 games on the road. The first 5. Their home opener, first ever home game, is going to be October 23rd, 7 o'clock Pacific time, against Vancouver. I'm trying to get my tickets, and airfare could be a problem because, yeah, I hear now the airlines are short-staffed, and who knows, and I might have to hitchhike my way there. I don't know. But they play 5 games before their actual home opener. I think any expansion franchise in any sport, they should automatically make it to where your first game is at home. If you got 5 road games after that, fine. The first game ever played by your franchise has to be in front of your home fans, doesn't it? Apparently not.
Yeah. Yeah, you
would. I'm surprised by that.
You had to wait 5 until the 6th game or whatever to see him at home. But yeah, that's weird.
At Las Vegas last night, at Nashville on Thursday, at Columbus on Saturday, at Philadelphia Monday, at New Jersey on Tuesday, and then 3 days off, and then they host Vancouver.
Takes a while to get back to Seattle when you go to New Jersey. It's just like, hey, just keep going east, and then you can play it in Seattle.
Yeah.
You can play at home after that.
Hey, not bad for an expansion team. You're down 3-0, come back, tie at 3-3, and then nearly won it, but lost 4-3. So that's exciting, at least for me.
Yeah, I had it on. I wasn't really watching it, but I did look up and saw the Golden Knights have scored 2 goals on their first 3 shots, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's not going well. But then turned it around.
30 seconds into the game, it was power play for the Kraken. I'm like, they're going to score on the power play to kick things off. And they had a goal within the first 30 seconds, almost a goal. It went right over the bar, hit the bar, and went over it. When I saw that, I was like, they're going to score. I thought it was a goal right off the bat. I was like, oh, my goodness. You talk about kicking off a franchise with flair. The Kraken's been released. I was ready to tweet it, too. And it just went above the pipe. I'm like, daggummit. So anyway, the Kraken are 0-1, but don't worry. They'll be back. They'll be back. Chiefs are looking to acquire a running back. Are you surprised by this a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously Clyde got hurt, but...
out 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not like it's supposed to be a
season-ending injury.
Long-term thing, so...
not a season-ending injury.
Yeah, that did surprise me a little bit.
The Chiefs have looked into trading for Indianapolis Colts running back Marlon Mack. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was placed on IR yesterday with a sprained knee. He'll be out 3 weeks. So the Chiefs are down to Darrell Williams and Jerick McKinnon. Mack and the Colts have also reportedly agreed to explore trade options. As second-year back out of Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor's emerged as the legitimate star. Mack has rushed for 85 yards in 3 games of limited duty. He had a season-high 47 against the Ravens on Monday night. He's not too old. He was drafted in the 4th round in 2017 out of South Florida. His best seasons came in 18-19 when he rushed for a total of 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns over a span of 26 games. If you remember, in a playoff game against the Chiefs, he ran all over the Chiefs with 148 yards. Was that the playoff game or regular season game? Was that a regular season game? That might have been the regular. I think that was a regular season
if
game.
If it wasn't snowing, it was the regular season game.
I think it was a regular season game, if I remember right, when the Chiefs lost and Mahomes had the bum ankle and everything. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. First, I don't know. I guess it depends on how much it costs to trade for Marlon Mack. If they could trade and get him for a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick, I'm okay with it. Maybe you can do a conditional. But here's the thing that I have a problem with the Chiefs is that, and we talked a little bit about yesterday, the Chiefs have spent money on defense. For the people that don't know what they're talking about, saying that the Chiefs need to spend more money on defense, you just don't keep throwing a ton of money at the problem. That obviously hasn't solved anything. This defense is actually worse this year than the last 2 years, and they've got more money tied up in the defense. So if you're going to have this money tied up in Chris Jones and Frank Clark, you can't change it now. If you're going to give Tyrann Mathieu an extension, which I still think is a question to whether or not they should or not based on what this defense is, you have to draft impact players on defense. There's no other option. You're not going to get a great player that's just available and no other team's going to go get him. All right? You're going to have to draft impact players. You hope Nick Bolton is going to be an impact player. You hope Willie Gay is going to be an impact player. L'Jarius Sneed in the fourth round, you're really not expecting him to be an impact player, although he was last year. This year, not so much. But if you're going to – you trade your first-round pick for Orlando Brown, so you helped your offense, and I thought the Chiefs went overboard on the offensive line getting too many guys. I think they needed to address it, don't get me wrong. But I thought they went a little overboard on that. And – they didn't really address a lot on defense. They brought Jaron Reed from Seattle, who has been a disappointment so far at defensive tackle. They traded, gave up a sixth-round pick, I think, next year for Mike Hughes, or a seventh-round pick. It wasn't much that they gave up. Actually, they swapped picks is what they did, which that's not bad. But Brett Veach has made some good trades. You know, Tre'Davious Ward was a very good trade, you know, they made with the Cowboys. He's made some good moves. But they're not drafting impact defensive players, at least not yet. And so to get to the point of my story, if you're spending a lot of money on your defense and that's not solving anything, and then it's hamstringing you to do other things, then you have to draft, and then that'll be lower money you spend on the draft. But then if you turn around and trade a fourth-round pick or whatever it might be for Marlon Mack, you now have taken away one pick to help your defense the next year's draft to get a running back. Who will he be a part of this team in the future? Because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a first-round draft pick. You're telling me Marlon Mack's going to be the feature back and Helaire's going to be a third-down back when he comes back? Here's the thing I don't understand. Either they think his injury is much worse than it really is, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because I don't, and granted, maybe they're just kicking the tires a little bit here and there's not much to this, but the fact that they're looking and it's become a story, I don't quite understand it because they don't have a ton of draft capital to trade to get Marlon Mack right now anyway, unless they feel like Darrell Williams and Jarrett McKinnon, they don't like them as backups when Helaire comes back healthy. It makes me wonder if Helaire's got a bigger problem in that knee than we know, or they're maybe a little bit sour on Helaire to where they want to take even more pressure off of him and get Marlon Mack, and I don't know if they really need to do that. I feel like they already give up draft picks to make trades many times. We talked about it. Brett Veach has only had one or two first-round picks because he trades it for other people. He did it for Frank Clark, sign and trade. He did it, of course, for Orlando Brown in a trade with the Ravens. And if you already have all this money tied up in your defense and you're up against the cap, which they are, and it's going to get a little bit worse. And well, there are a couple players that come off the books, but then Mahomes' contract will start kicking in more. Jones' contract, there's higher numbers coming as well, by the way. Is it wise to trade draft capital for a backup running back for the Indianapolis Colts?
I don't think it is. I saw that come out yesterday, and I'm like, I didn't understand.
I kind of shook my head.
From that point, because like you said, I don't think Clyde, unless, like you said, that it's worse than what they're talking about. But again, that part of where maybe they don't trust him as much, but I don't think they've given Jerick McKinnon enough of a chance in this offense, to be completely honest with you. He had a good preseason,
I
felt like, and they're talking about how he had a good training camp too. So right. I don't know why he's not getting a better opportunity, and this is a perfect opportunity for that in my mind, to see if he can, and then if things aren't going well, then you kind of can think about, I don't think Marlon Mack's going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe there's other teams that are looking at his services since the Colts say, hey, we're interested in trading him.
Right.
And the Chiefs feel like they got to get in quicker than anybody else to get him. But
is that a big need right now?
It's not.
I don't think
feel like it is. And so that's, for me, I don't think you
I think
I don't think you get rid of a draft pick for a backup running back when you don't really need it.
I don't think – I don't – I mean, I think for – if, in fact, they're being honest about Hilaire's injury and he'll be back after three games, and that would be – he would miss Washington, Tennessee, and the Giants. So he'd be back possibly for the Sunday game against the Packers, which would be a huge game between Rodgers and Mahomes. But I'm sitting here, and this is the way I look at it, and people need to listen very carefully. If you listen to this show on a regular basis, when you first hear me say this, you're going to say, Wade, you're being inconsistent with your – your argument. I'm not. Let me explain. So my first inkling is, listen, if we're going to trade for anybody, we got to trade for a player that'll help this defense, because the defense needs more help than the offense. The offense just needs to quit turning the ball over. You stop turning the ball over, you're fine. As long as you stay healthy with Kelce Hill and Mahomes, this offense will be just fine. So you need more help on defense. So if you're going to trade for anybody, trade for a guy that can help your defense right now, because I don't think a running back is that big a deal, especially if Hilaire's going to be back in 3 weeks. Now, if Hilaire, they think, is going to be out for the season, now I feel differently about it.
Sure.
And to make my argument consistent, people may listen to that and say, well, wait, didn't you just say last week when the Chiefs signed Josh Gordon that there's no impact defensive players out there? And didn't you say that, you know, you had no problem with Josh Gordon being added to the offense, but now you're saying this week that you have a problem with Marlon Mack being added to an offense because you say the problem's on defense? There's big, huge difference. Chiefs didn't have to trade for Josh Gordon. He was available. They picked him up free and clear. If Marlon Mack was absolutely free and clear to pick up, I'd be all about it.
Sure. Yeah.
But to trade, I wouldn't have been for the Josh Gordon pickup if they had to trade for him. No way,
no.
Jose. But they didn't have to. They didn't have to. So my point is, in regards to a guy that's just unemployed that's out there, you know, Jalen Smith was going to cost them too much money in regards to what they had to pick up, because the Chiefs are up against the cap. Even like right now, it's hamstringing them to even make an addition in a guy like Jalen Smith, who I don't know if he really would have helped this team, because I think he's not quite as quick and as good in pass coverage, because that knee's caught up to him with the Cowboys, and they let him go without even trading him for something, which tells you something to me. That's a red flag. But if you're going to trade for a player, that means you got to look. There's got to be some defensive players that are available to be traded for. Let's go find a player. If we're going to trade a fourth round or a fifth round or a sixth round pick for Marlon Mack, I'd rather take that pick and trade it for a player that I think can help this defense instead of Marlon Mack, as long as we understand that Hilaire is going to be back in 3 to 4 weeks. Because I think McKinnon and Darrell Williams can shoulder the load, because, first of all, the Chiefs don't run it 30 times a game anyway. Mm-hmm. They both are capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. And I agree with you. I think McKinnon might be just as good a back as Marlon Mack anyway. Marlon Mack is 25, so he's still young, and maybe they're thinking, well, we get Mac, but then what's it going to cost you down the line? I don't know how much he's his contract, but I just am a little bit surprised that the Chiefs are actually interested in this move, and he would be a free agent. He is on a one-year, $2 million deal, so it wouldn't cost you a lot of money to bring him in. I don't know, the Chiefs might have enough room to bring him in. Maybe that's the attraction, but. And maybe they don't have room to get anybody else, even if they trade for. But you shouldn't trade much for Marlon Mack if he's going to be a free agent. He's a rental player for about 11 weeks, 12 weeks. Yeah. So I don't really understand it, to be quite honest. The only thing that would make sense to me is if we're not getting the truth and Hilaire's hurt worse than we think, then it makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, that's it for
yeah.
me.
And I think they can wait a few weeks, unless they just love Marlon Mack. I think they can wait a few weeks, like you said, and let it play out. I don't know what the NFL trade deadline is. I'll double check that. There used to be never any trades, but now there are more and more trades. The trade deadline, November 2nd. So you still got plenty of time to let this play out for a few weeks and see how McKinnon and Williams do, you know?
Yeah.
And Derek Gore off the practice squad, I mean, maybe he's a guy, if even McKinnon and Darrell Williams get hurt, he gets an opportunity. I just don't think it's worth trading draft capital for a rental player.
Not at all.
And it's a guy that I don't know how much he's really going to help your offense. You need a guy to help your defense, so that's where I would be looking. Although maybe there's no guy out there to trade for that the Chiefs can fit under the cap that they would think would help their defense. And I'm okay if that's the fact. They don't do anything to help their defense because there's really nobody out there to get. But I am concerned about trading any future draft capital for a rental running back. I just don't think that's a wise move.
It's not a wise move. It's not a needed move.
I don't think it's really needed.
That's the thing. Is like if
only if Hilaire's. Like
I can argue. You can argue some things aren't wise, but sometimes you have to do it, right? Like
right.
Sometimes it's a situation where this is our only choice here. We got to get this done.
Right.
That's not this right now. They don't need Marlon Mack.
Listen, if Tyreek Hill goes down and, you know, Juju Schuster's out there to go trade for, which, by the way, he's out for 4 weeks. But let's say there's a good wide receiver they can go trade. I'm open for it.
Yeah.
If a Chiefs got to trade a third or a fourth round pick to go get a receiver that they like to replace Tyreek Hill if Hill got hurt, or if Kelsey went down and they wanted to tie it in and there's a guy out there, I'm open to that. But that'd be, I'd want a guy that's under contract past this year. So I don't like this idea, honestly.
No.
More fallout for John Gruden. Gruden, the first head coach to lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a Super Bowl title, earning a spot in their prestigious Ring of Honor. Gruden was removed from the Buccaneers Ring of Honor after the Super Bowl winning head coach resigned from the Las Vegas Raiders in the wake of leaked emails in which he reportedly used insensitive language. Here's a statement from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have advocated for purposeful change in the areas of race relations, gender equality, diversity, and inclusion for many years. While we acknowledge John Gruden's contributions on the field, his actions go against our core values as an organization. Therefore, he will no longer continue to be a member of the Buccaneers' Ring of Honor. End of quote. I will say this. That's a strong stance. I'm a little bit surprised it happened that quickly for a guy that won him a Super Bowl. I will say, Antonio Brown's done a lot of really bad things off the field, too, and issues, and he's still a member of this team, and he's playing every Sunday. So if you're all about this character and wanting to do this and this and this, Antonio Brown's not exactly the guy I would really be, not that they're championing him, but there's a little inconsistency there, a little bit, based on some of the things he's done off the field, right?
Yeah, it's totally reactionary, and
yes,
it's woke. That's what we're doing today.
That's the way we are.
I'm not saying right or wrong.
You're right.
I'm not saying it's wrong that the Buccaneers removed him.
Well, that's their decision. I have
yeah.
no problem with it.
But it's just kind of where we're at right now. And
there has to be an instant decision. I think they could have waited a little longer, but let it calm down. I don't know if a whole bunch of people have been all really upset had they just left him in there. It's not like it's not like he was going to be inducted in.
Yeah.
He's already in there.
This
like O.J. Simpson isn't taken out of the Hall of Fame. Now, technically, he's found not guilty, and we all know how he truly should have been. So, technically, he hasn't been taken out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, why, you know, it is interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
He's had everything else taken away from him, O.J. has, but he's still in the Hall of Fame.
Still in the Hall of Fame.
But
John Gruden's out without the Ring of Honor, and what John Gruden did wasn't nearly as bad as O.J. did.
No,
and it doesn't, because of murder. Of course, he was not guilty. Of course, we all know he was not guilty.
Yeah,
sure.
It doesn't change anything that Gruden did at Tampa Bay, but it's just like, I don't know if you need to do that, but whatever.
It's your
franchise. You do what you want.
Yeah, and maybe they feel a lot of pressure from people, and that's probably what happened.
That's what's weird is that wouldn't even be my thought process of like, hey, okay, Tampa, now you should probably take him out of the Ring of Honor.
I think that'd be the last thing I'd be thinking about.
I wouldn't even have thought about it until Tampa Bay actually came out and said, hey, we're taking him out of the Ring of Honor.
I agree. All right, shift to NBA for a moment, then we'll get to K-State in focus. We'll play the press conference for Chris Klieman yesterday as K-State gets ready for Iowa State. Our K-State in focus our focus on K-State athletics. Brought to you as always by Heineken Electric and Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit. That's coming up in just a few. Kyrie Irving is a lightning rod once again. And listen, I hesitate to say too many strong things about Kyrie Irving's situation because, one, I've never talked to the dude. Two, he doesn't talk to the media explaining himself, so it's hard to know. Whether he has legitimate, real, true reasons why he's not getting vaccinated. And I'm not saying he doesn't, but he hasn't told us why. Some people have said, well, it's against the vaccine mandate. That's what he's against. Okay, well, you make your stance, and then if you're okay with getting vaccinated, get vaccinated so you can play and not lose $380,000 a game. If you don't know the situation in New York, he can't play home games. He's got to be fully vaccinated. He hasn't been able to practice very much either. And so basically you're sitting here going, well, if he sticks with this stance and not get vaccinated, he can play in certain arenas in the league, but that'd be road games. All the home games he can't due to the law there in New York, because the Nets play in Brooklyn, New York. And then there'd be Golden State's another one where if they play, he can't play. And so we sit here and we're like, dude, there's no way he can be a part-time player. There's just no way that's going to work, right? There's no way. Well, guess what? The Nets came to that realization. I think they did all along. They waited till yesterday, and the organization dropped the farce and got real. At first in a press release and then on Zoom, general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, Sean Marks, said that Kyrie Irving will not be permitted to be a part-time player. In other words, you're either in or you're out. You can get vaccinated or you cannot, and then you don't play. We're not looking for partners that are going to be halftime, Mark said. I don't think that would be fair, not only on the team and staff and ownership and fans, but to be quite frank, not fair on Kyrie either. One reporter asked Marks to state for the record whether or not Irving is vaccinated, simply because the Nets had previously declined to say if he was vaccinated, we wouldn't be having this discussion, Mark said. I think it's probably pretty clear. Yeah, it's clear. He's not vaccinated. We get it. If he was, what are we talking about? The Nets have been perfectly comfortable talking about Irving's personal choice while downplaying or dismissing the consequences that have been obvious from the beginning. It qualified as news when on Sunday, Steve Nash, head coach, acknowledged for the first time that Irving wouldn't be able to play at home, and then they addressed it a little bit more. This is a major distraction for the team. Listen, let's put the vaccination part aside. Let's say there is a player. Actually, there was one not too long ago. What was his name? Royce White, was it? For Iowa State. He had a fear of flying. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it caused him to miss a few games. He had a fear of flying. He wouldn't go by train, by bus, by car, but he would not fly. And it honestly killed his career. Mm-hmm. And in essence, he wasn't a full-time player. Now, he wasn't going to miss half the games like Kyrie would, all the home games plus a few road games. But that didn't work. So if you are... If you're siding with Kyrie on this situation, and you're against the Nets, let me ask you a question. Forget about whether or not he should be vaccinated or not. That's each person's choice. If Kyrie Irving doesn't want to be vaccinated, then that's his choice to not play basketball, because those are the rules. All right, he isn't in charge of the rules. He can argue the rules. I mean, I can argue the rules of the speed limit should be more than 65, but if I still speed, I'm going to get a ticket possibly, right? The cop can pull me over, and I can say, dude, this is way too slow. This construction zone where they're fixing the bridge on Highway 24 between Beloit and Glen Elder, you know, one of them's 40 miles an hour, the other's 45, and I get busted going 45 in the 40, and I can say, well, the other one's 45. You know, honestly, they should both be 45. And the cop's going to say, well, I don't care. It's posted 40. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be like, I can argue the rules all I want. I can argue them so much I can go to jail. But I'm going to just have to take my medicine and pay the fine or pay the ticket or get a warning and deal with it. Those are the rules. I can complain about them, but at the end of the day, I choose whether or not to follow the speed limit, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so the NBA has the rules. The state of New York has their rules. These are the rules that are in place. Whether you like them or not, you can get all mad that you can't go in naked to Dollar General, okay? I would say you shouldn't, because those are the rules. You need to have your clothes on, right? You can argue it all you want, but you're going to be arrested for indecent exposure and so forth and so on. So you can argue the rules all you want, whether it's vaccinations or speed limits or any kind of laws or rules we have in this land. You can argue them till your heart's content. But the bottom line is, you're not in charge of making these rules. So these are the rules that the players are living by if they want to play basketball. They have the choice of not living by the rules, and thus their choice is not to play. And so Kyrie Irving and his camp, I'm sure, upset about it. But it's like, listen, nobody else in the NBA gets this kind of treatment. And I'm talking, forget the vaccination part now. What NBA, what sports player, what athlete gets to play only half the season and it works? I mean, what athlete is allowed to play just half the season? Nobody.
Nobody.
Bo Jackson had an agreement when baseball was over. He would then go to the Raiders, and he didn't play just the road games or home games. He played the rest of the season. But they had an agreement in place. He played the full season for the Royals. Then he turned his attention to football with the Raiders, and he played the last 8, 9, 10 games of the season. They agreed on that, okay? So he got a bit of a special treatment, and he should, because he was unbelievable, okay? And that was the agreement. They wanted him to play so badly, they were willing to say, okay, yeah, your first job already is the Royals. We tried to get you after you already signed with the Royals. You're at the big leagues with the Royals. Bo Jackson, you're a stud, and we're going to take your 8, 9, 10 games because that's how good you are, and we're cool with it, okay? The Nets could have done the same thing. They could have said, well, we'll take Kyrie for just the road games. But here's the problem. Once, if you have a 6-game homestand, he ain't going to play any. You have a 5-game road trip, he'll play all 5. You come back home, he's suddenly out. That's not good.
No.
That's not good for your team. There is no athlete that's sitting in and out like that, where they play road games but not home games. So to go back to my example with the Royce White from Iowa State, you know, if he said, listen, I'm only going to play home games and I'm going to live right here in Chicago or whatever NBA team he played for, and I'm not going to fly, unless he's a superstar, and right now Irving is a superstar and it doesn't even happen for him, Royce White would have been cut pretty quickly. So he tried to make it work. He tried to get on trains. He tried to get on buses. He drove his vehicle to make it to road games, because he knew that if he didn't try, he probably wouldn't be a part of the team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not, this is the same thing if you go to, you can go all the way down to Pee Wee baseball, you can go to traveling sports, you can go to junior high, you can go to high school, college, whatever level of sports. You know, there are sometimes rules for different players because they're stars. But if there's a kid that doesn't come to any practices and all these other kids work their butt off at practice, and then this kid just shows up and he says, I'm only playing games, but I'm not doing practices. Any coach that agrees to that should step down. Because it's not fair to any of those kids that practice. The message is, because why don't those kids all just boycott practice then? Why don't they say, well, what's the point of practice? You don't let you don't have this kid practice at all, and then he takes my spot on the team when we have games. He's starting at shortstop. Why is that? That's not good for a team, no matter what level it is. It's not going to make anybody happy. The Nets have been very quiet and very careful to say the right things politically, be politically correct, because it's tied to COVID and vaccinations and vaccinated mandates. But this is not the Nets' choice, per se. This is not the NBA's choice. They already made their choices from the standpoint of their rules and their policies, and so did the state of New York. So until that gets changed, these are the rules that you live by. Kyrie Irving has made this situation because of his own decision. If he doesn't like what the Nets are doing, if he doesn't like the fact that he isn't going to be able to be allowed a part-time player, then he either needs to retire, or he needs to sit out the season, or he needs to get vaccinated. And those are his choices. This is his decision, and I'm not going to feel sorry for Kyrie Irving because he's not playing NBA basketball, because one, I know he has a lot of money anyway. Two, he obviously knows he can afford it, because if he really needed the money, he probably would have got vaccinated like Andrew Wiggins did. And Andrew Wiggins didn't need the money either, but he finally kind of felt coerced into getting vaccinated. Once again, that's his choice whether to get vaccinated or not. But then to put him up as a great champion fighting the great fight, it's like, dude, 98% of the NBA is vaccinated. Everybody else is going about their business. So this is the livelihood that you're choosing not to do, okay? That's your choice. Those are the rules. You can fight the rules. You can take it to Congress or wherever you want to take it and fight the rules as much as you want and get the lawyers involved. Maybe you can change the rules. That's fine. But as of now, this is a business, the NBA, that has their policies, okay, which they do allow unvaccinated players to play. By the way, let me make that clear. The NBA will allow unvaccinated players to play. It's just that they got to go through much more rigid protocol in order to be eligible to play. They got to pass more tests and so forth and so on. So the least path of least resistance would be to get vaccinated. But the bigger problem here is Kyrie Irving, he's not really fighting the NBA here. He's fighting the law in New York.
New York, yeah.
And if that's the thing he wants to do and give up a lot of money to put up the good fight, there are people that applaud him for that. And if that's what he truly believes in, I applaud him for that as well. I have never been against somebody standing up for what they believe in, as long as they don't spew a whole bunch of misinformation. And, you know, gather the research and the information. Let's at least be objective enough. And if this is the conclusion you come to, explain it. And he doesn't even explain it, by the way. He doesn't talk to the media, explain it, which that's his prerogative. But then we don't understand him as well.
Yeah.
So the Nets obviously go, hey, this is the state law, and he can't play home games. So what's our next decision? Well, it's not good for us to have a guy play four games and play no games for 2 weeks and then play five games and then not practice and then practice and not practice and practice and then not practice and play games and then not play games. This is no good for our team. So we're not going to let him be a part-time player. I don't know what other decision you could come to a conclusion of other than that by the Nets.
Yeah, I don't. They did say he was going to miss 43 games, so I don't think they were supposed to. Maybe Golden State was going to come to New York, and that would have been one of the games they would have missed. But it did say in the story I read that he would miss 43 because 41 home games and 2 games at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks.
So that's missing over 50%.
Yeah, that's less than half the games that he would be able to play in.
Correct.
So, you know, The Athletic came out with a story last night. Again, Kyrie doesn't talk to us about it, but they said that his stance is not anti-vaccine. It's because he's upset that people are losing their jobs because of vaccine mandates.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not directly from his mouth, though. So right. We don't know if that's it. That's a report that multiple sources are saying that.
Which let me jump
in. The Athletic is usually a pretty good.
Yeah. Which, let me jump in. That, and once again, have you noticed I haven't criticized
him? Exactly, yeah.
Like, he has the right to do that. There's no doubt. If he wants to give up a lot of money and make that sacrifice to bring attention to that, and that's what he truly believes in, I have no problem with it at all. Now, the problem I have is if he and his camp are all upset because they don't allow him to be a part-time player, that's the problem I have.
Yeah, and, well, listen, this is not the first time Kyrie's done this either. I mean, you go back to the bubble in Orlando where he didn't play because he felt like there needed to be more attention brought to social justice and stuff like that.
He disappeared for a couple weeks last year having things that he was dealing with that we don't fully exactly know what he was doing.
Yeah, and so, I mean, at some point, it's not a question of – what the Nets need to make a decision here. Does Kyrie want to play?
The Nets need to have a guy that's reliable.
Yeah.
That's a key part of their team. And if he ain't going to be around and he's not reliable or can't show up, whether you condone his actions for what he's fighting for or not, the bottom line is they have a business to run. And if he ain't going to be a part of it full time, then we're just not going to have him on the team right now. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Which I can't blame him.
Yeah. And it's always a different thing with Kyrie than what
sure.
you think it probably is,
oh, yeah.
right?
He's a very
because,
complicated
again,
dude.
The bubble was like, well, he doesn't want to go down and get COVID probably.
Right.
No, he said, no, that's not even why I'm not going.
It's
because we need more awareness brought to social justice and all this. So he's a different dude. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. And my question is, how bad does he really even want to play, you know? And I'm not saying that's good or bad, right?
Right.
I'm just asking that question
yes.
because when you see it so many times – and again, he's got the right to take whatever stance he wants, but the Nets also have the right to. And that's what's funny about it is like there's so many people trying to stick up for Kyrie saying, oh, the Nets should let him play. But at the same time, Kyrie's not out here saying, oh, I should play. He's not upset about it right now. It doesn't feel like anyway. He's not saying anything, so you don't know if he's upset or not. So, you know, I'm not going to come to Kyrie's defense here to
right.
let him play because the Nets made a decision they had to make based on what the rules are
right.
in the city that they play in.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated. At the same time, it's simple. You can't have a guy just playing part of the games.
No.
Less than 50% of the games. It's not fair to his teammates, his team, and what their goal is. And the thing is, they're good enough to win a title without Kyrie Irving. I've said that for a very long time. But Kyrie Irving, I think, here's my thing. If Kyrie Irving wants to do all this stuff off the court and fight for social justice or any causes he has, I am all for it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I support it. Then just go ahead and retire and focus on it.
Do what Maya Moore did. Right?
Sit out a full year and do it.
Just say, hey, this is what I'm doing now.
Yes.
I'm not a basketball
guy out of prison who
anymore.
Was on unrightfully in prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're married.
Yeah. Right.
And it sounds like Kyrie's done a lot of good things for a lot of people too.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's like
it would be nice for him to actually talk
to
people
yeah.
and explain his situation. But that's once again his decision as well.
Exactly.